Today's sermon is called The Heart, H-E-A-R-T, The Heart Part of Forgiveness. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. The Lord God of our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, how many is it? How many times are we really supposed to forgive someone who has wronged us? 7, as Peter suggests? 77, as the New Revised Standard Version has it? Or is it unto 70 times 7, the literal translation of the Greek that comes to 490 pronouncements of forgiveness? Christians everywhere, we're dying to know. Inquiring minds want to know, Jesus, what are we supposed to do? This is the kind of question on the hearts of many Christians. It's the kind of certainty of results faith approach that has this task list, this checklist of to-dos and to-don'ts in order to know about whether we're faithful. Let's be clear, Pastor Mark, as long as we stick with the do's, we'll be fine because Jesus says so. And yet, that's the antithesis of Jesus' ministry. Because how many times does he tell the scribes and Pharisees about the flaws in their checklists in following God's law to the exclusion of God's heart? And yet, time after time, many of us, when it comes to God, have just one request. Tell us what to do to get on God's good side. Make it so that we don't have to work too hard or think about it. Make it easy. It's not about grace, not about relationship. It's about getting by and doing what we're supposed to do. We love God. We got this, Pastor. Following God, we've been here in Greenland for these many years. Jesus says to forgive 77 times. So, all right, that's what we'll do. We'll keep a running count just to make sure that maybe we hit that number. Or until forgiveness grows tiresome. Which may be certainly before 77, well, might even be well before we hit even double digits. Now, Peter thinks he's being generous. Like, he's being super generous when he wonders if he should forgive 7 times. Because remember our discussion on atonement? The rabbinical custom was supposed to forgive up to 3 times. And then the punishment would befall the individual were he or she to sin a 4th time. And this is referenced in both the 1st and 2nd chapters of Amos, by the way, if you want to look it up. Peter not only doubles this expected number, but he adds 1 to it, knowing that 7 is a pretty perfect number biblically, isn't it? Yeah. Where else do we find 7? Yeah, right. 7 days in which God created the world, right? So 7 is considered a perfect number, and it's the number associated with God for that reason. Good old Peter, right? He's always going the extra mile to please Jesus, still showing off, still trying to get to that number one spot, and still not quite getting it. And yet, in response to this seemingly logical question, Jesus throws an even bigger number. Poor Peter, he just wants to know what he's supposed to do. Like many of us. But it isn't about the math. It's not about doing what we're supposed to do. It's about the very nature of forgiveness and the way that we approach our relationship with Jesus and our neighbors. That, Jesus points out, is the question you should be asking. And to illustrate this point, he gives us this parable, this story about the ungrateful servant. It's a parable, I guess. Because it's the Gospel of Matthew, of course, Jesus tells a parable. This is what the Gospel of Matthew is just full of, these parables. And so in this parable, this tyrannical king is owed 10,000 talents. That sounds like a lot, isn't it? It is. It's not just a lot. It's an impossibly astronomically absurd a lot, because a single talent was 6,000 denarii, and a denarius is a day's wages. So one talent is 6,000 days' wages. And so 10,000 talents is the equivalent of 200,000 years' worth of income. Now, the folks that hear this parable would have literally been rolling on the floor laughing their butts off at such a comically high amount. Because, of course, the servant can't pay that. So when the servant asks for forgiveness from the king of this ludicrous amount that's forgiven, the king is rather generous. But then the servant runs into someone who owes him some money, right? 100 denarii. And he demands that he pay what he owes. Now, you might be expecting that this is a teeny tiny amount, right? Now, let's remember, a single denarius was a day's wages. And so the amount the servant is owed is just over 3 months' wages. Not an insignificant amount. But when compared to 10,000 talents versus 100 denarii, that he owes the king, it seems next to nothing, meaningless. The king, therefore, reneges on his offer of forgiveness at the end of this story because the servant does not show mercy as he received. And the servant is sent away to be punished. So to Peter and other folks who think that faith is about doing what we're supposed to do, Jesus is offering this other reality. Isn't that what we have here? Jesus is saying this. Stop asking questions like, how much should we forgive? Because one who's counting the number of times he or she says, yeah, you're forgiven, isn't actually forgiving anyone at all. They're just biding their time till Jesus offers the reward. Let's be clear here. The parable isn't saying that we should just keep forgiving and forgiving without even thinking about it, because after all, how can our heart truly be in it if we just keep hitting that forgive button? The entire exchange with Peter in the subsequent parable are part of an invitation into a new way of being. Peter thought 7 was a pretty high number. The servant thought 100 denarii was a pretty high number. But neither means anything compared to 10,000 talents. This is an allegorical image that Jesus uses to illustrate the magnitude of everything that we owe to God. We squabble over matters, and down here on earth between us, we squabble over matters that we think are huge. But in the context of God, they're pretty tiny. We scream at the young people in McDonald's drive-thru who mess up our order and just can't get it right and can't hear us no matter what. We maybe refuse to speak to somebody because of a petty squabble for days, weeks, months, even years back when, well, they offended us. And meanwhile, we've got the nerve to ask Jesus, how many times should we forgive? What are we supposed to do? We don't get it. We never have. But Jesus does what Jesus always does. Jesus offers us the chance to get it. Even now, he still offers that to us. Jesus offers us the chance to think of forgiveness not as something which we keep track of or something which we keep doing without thinking, but as something that we should do in the context of our relationship with God. If God loves us so much that God continues to forgive us whenever we ask it, why can't we do the same? But Peter, two chapters after he realizes that Jesus is God and his teachings are now the Word of God, he doesn't have any idea about God's grace, eternal, boundless, infinite. And Peter's still thinking that folks don't deserve that much forgiveness. What happens when we don't forgive? It can be too much of a power trip, like last week, when we would gather our friends up and gang up on someone and insist on our opinions are the correct ones. When we don't forgive, it's about power, isn't it? It's about me having a hold over you. It's about making sure that you're down there and I ain't going to let you up till I'm ready, which might not be. It's time of my choosing. That's the power game. And that's not the way of God. Forgiveness, my friends, now forgiveness shouldn't be easy. But we need to remember that everything is changing, and when we don't forgive, we harden our hearts to a point in time, place, and put at risk relationships, don't we? We forget that forgiveness is not about retribution and punishment, but it's about restoration, restitution. God's about relationships, right? So, remember, God forgives us. Why can't we do that? I'll leave you with these final thoughts. The word deserving doesn't come from Jesus' lips in terms of withholding and testing. Jesus uses it in terms of compassion and mercy. That's what losing one's life is all about. Dropping our defenses, pretenses, our need to be right, and helping us enter into others' lives and understand them as trying just as hard as we do to make it in this world. Forgiving is about our hearts. And I want you to hear that. Forgiving is about our hearts. Forgiving is about our love. Forgiving is about reaching out to God and knowing that we're still going to be okay. But we must give our hearts to God before we can ever do that for others. And that's why Jesus says 77 times, God knows no limits. Why do we? So I'd like you to think about this week, okay? Going away. Learn to say maybe. Learn to say, I don't know. But when someone has offended you, or said something, or done something, let's stop passing out scarlet letters to those who are all too easy to accept it. Because remember, this is kingdom living. The last shall be first, which means the one you don't forgive is probably God right in front of you, right here, right now. Think about that as you go forward this week, and think about how many times now, how many times are you willing to forgive? Thanks be to God. Amen. Okay.